I trust him. I sought the Lord and he heard. Good morning, Seaport. Aren't you glad he hears us this morning? And he answers our prayers, that he's a near God who deeply cares about us and loves us. Well, welcome to Mixed Match Sunday. One of these days I'll dress normal for church, I promise. But until then, we'll have some fun and raise some money for missions in the meantime. So this morning, our prayer focus is on Easter and inviting people to Easter. But first, I just want to share quickly, you know, evangelism can be scary, right? Like sharing your faith can be scary. But I just want to encourage you, when you share your faith with someone, you're basically, all you have to be is one step ahead of them in their journey with Jesus. Does that make sense? Like, you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be saved for 30 years. You don't have to have all the answers. You just have to be one step ahead of the person you're leading to Jesus, okay? And the other thing I want to encourage you with, too, is your story is the most powerful thing you have. That's your testimony. That's what God did personally for you. You might not have all the answers theologically, biblically. People could argue you all day long about the existence of God, but they can't argue your personal story of what God did for you. So when you're at work, at the store, if you feel prompted to share your faith with someone, just share your story. Just share the goodness of God in your life, the amazing things he's done for you, the prayers that he's answered in your life. And that will speak more than you trying to debate theologically with somebody. And then just lastly, real practically, you might work in a company where there's like hundreds of people or dozens of people, and you're like, well, who do I invite? I would encourage you just to ask the Lord to highlight for you like the certain people at work right now that are the closest to Jesus, the closest to coming to Jesus out of anybody. And just say, God, who should I talk to? Who should I pray for? Who should I share the love of God with this week? Who should I invite to Easter service? You know, you're like, there's 100 people that I could ask. Well, just ask the Lord to show you and to highlight to you who that one person is, or those two people are, those three people are. So just some practical tips on Easter. And let's just pray that God highlights those people and gives us the boldness to share our faith with them. God, we just thank you that Easter is coming, Lord. And we just pray, God, in preparation for that, Lord, you would just put on our hearts the neighbor, the coworker, the friend that, Lord, you want to have come to Seaport on that Sunday. And more importantly, that person that needs to come to Jesus. And Lord, we just pray you'd give us the words to say, God. Just give us the boldness and the courage not to be ashamed or afraid or intimidated. But God, just to know that you did great things in our lives. You're doing great things in our lives, God. And we just want to share that goodness with the world around us, Lord. Put a smile on our face, God. Put the joy in our heart just to share, just with boldness and with love and with kindness and with compassion. Lord, we thank you for this great church. You're doing great things here. This is a healthy, amazing place. And Lord, we just want to share this place with the community around us. We just pray, God, that people who are out there hurting, lost, confused, that they would find a home here at Seaport, God. That your presence would draw them in here, Lord. And when they come here, Lord, they would feel comfortable and they would feel the warmness and the friendliness of the people. They would feel your presence and they would know that this is a great home church for them, Father. God, we thank you so much. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. All right, well, you can be seated this morning. And if you are visiting with us this morning, we just want to say thank you for being here. And we like to welcome our visitors with a round of applause. So let's just give everyone a hand that might be here visiting for the first time. If you are visiting, you can just text the word welcome to the number on the screen. And when you do that, a link will come back to you. You click on that link, 20 seconds, you're done, and then we're connected. So that'll be awesome. We'd love to just get to know more about you and you about us. And then also, you can download our app. There's a QR code in front of you on the seat back. If you scan that QR code, that'll bring you to our app. That's where all of our events are posted, what's happening at the church to stay in touch with us and what's going on. And then lastly, if you'd like to meet with Pastor Brad, our lead pastor here at the church, he's either going to be floating around up here in the front or he's going to be back in the cafe area. So enjoy the service. Thank you so much again for being with us.
Good morning, Seaport. March Missions Madness is going strong, as you can see. Thank you for bringing the team spirit and rocking your wackiest mismatched outfits. My kids may pretend that they don't know me today, but I have great news. God sure does. He knows my name. So there's some encouragement. And I have to say that seeing the kids' faces light up every week when they've seen us in these crazy outfits, you know, that is enough to just make my day and help me continue on. So, Yes. If this is your first Sunday joining us and you're wondering, what is all of this excitement about? This March at Seaport, our kids and youth are raising funds for two missions programs, BGMC and Speed the Light. These incredible missions programs teach our kids and teens how their giving can make a difference by helping missionaries on the field, by providing essential resources for outreach and evangelism, helping to speed the light of the gospel around the world. So this morning, Miss Noelani, she went back into our kids' classrooms and taught them about missions in Indonesia and prayed for the missionaries serving over there. For the rest of the month, you can jump in, and yes, you too can join in on these crazy challenges by participating. You can see the different challenges behind me. And when you come in the morning, you can cast your vote for Team Kidman, which is Pastor Brad's team, or Team Youth, which is Pastor Russ's team. And the team with the most votes by month's end will get to silly string the other ministry leader and pastor. That's pretty phenomenal. As of last week's totals, Pastor Russ had 53 votes and Pastor Brad had 60. So this is really still kind of neck and neck, my friends. So mark your calendar for the March Missions Madness celebration and get ready for the Silly String Spectacular. The final day for kids and teens to bring in their jars is next Sunday, the 30th. And then don't miss coming to the Silly String Spectacular. All of you guys are invited. It's going to take place directly following service on April 6th. If the kids and teens reach their goals of raising $500 each for these wonderful missions programs, they will have the epic honor of silly stringing myself and our youth leader, Nate. And every kid and teen will get their own jar spray can of silly string. So it will be pretty epic. They're excited about this. So drum roll, as far as since last week's totals, they have raised a combined total of $425.39. So great job. Next Sunday's challenge is Seaport Day. So this is a great one for everybody to participate. So wear your favorite Seaport merch shirt or Seaport colors, which are beautiful blues I think everyone should have in their closet. So thank you guys for continuing to support missions, having fun, and making a difference together. So let's go ahead now and check out all the opportunities here.
Amen. A lot happening around here suddenly. And so I hope you'll get the app and download that and be part of things that are going on. I'm going to go ahead right now and release our 7th to 12th grade. And if you are in that age group and you'd like to go out and meet with our youth group, they're going to go out these doors and to the right into the fellowship hall. So they're going to head out of here right now. 7th to 12th graders, they're released right now. Then they'll be in there. If you are visiting, they'll be in there for the remainder of the service with their own special meeting and class. So now, there was a lot up there. I hope that you caught all that. The final Derby Workday is today, so you can be part of that. And there's a couple of things coming up this week. Seaport Seniors on Friday, and then a gardening class on Saturday. And the baptism is coming up in a couple of weeks. Lots to look at, lots to check out. And you can see all these are in the app, and they come in your email as well on Saturdays. And so it's all right there. So I hope you jump in and be part of that. Amen. And so many great opportunities there. So many of us here have been kind of tracking along with somebody who's become a real friend to so many of us, and that's Shiny. And so you're going to hear from Shiny right now. She's going to talk to you about how she's doing. And then she asked me this week if she could share a testimony. I thought, what perfectly timed testimony. So let's take a look. Hey, I just thought it would be great for you not only to hear, but see Shiny. Doesn't she look great? She's going to tell you a little bit about how she's doing physically. And then she's got a great testimony that she's going to share with us. So, Shiny, talk to us. It's great to see you.
Good morning, Pastor Brad, and good morning, Seaport family. I just wanted to thank you all for your continual prayers before and after surgery. I'm doing great, progressing well, walking, doing stairs, and recently even started driving short distances. I also wanted to say that the Lord has provided help supernaturally when I needed help with going to doctor's appointments, grocery shopping, a friend's place to stay after surgery and before surgery, and a lot of friends visiting and praying for me. I especially want to thank the ladies at Seaport. Want to shout out to Andrea, Katie Jean, Nate, Addie, Julie, Teresa, and Melissa Miles for all visiting me and praying for me. And also thank you, Garina, for her faithful phone calls, her encouragement and prayers. And also want to thank the other ladies who reached out by texts and phone calls, Marianne, Katie, Virgin, Melissa Jones, Suzanne, Lindsay, Linda, Laurel, Jacqueline, Diana, Stephanie, all the ladies from the Bible study. I've really found a community here at Seaport, and you all are truly a blessing, and I just wanted to say a heartfelt thank you.
That's great. You know, that's so important, because, I mean, you live an hour away from us, and so that's what's made it a little challenging. So from your pastor, thank you, everyone, for just reaching out and loving Shiny. Not that she's very hard to love, that's for sure, but Shiny, so you wrote to me this week and told me about a financial testimony. So share that with us.
Yes, it was 10 days after surgery, and I really felt impressed that the Lord was impressing me to, you know, give of the tithe. And I was only getting the Connecticut paid leave income, but I felt faithful. I felt like I needed to be faithful to God, even in the little that I get. And God is so good that, you know, by faith, I sent it. And then just this past week, actually Tuesday, I received a check from my coworkers. About 20 of them sent me a get well card and a financial blessing. And then I just received yesterday from another friend of mine, a huge check to help me with my surgical bills. So praise the Lord. Like, he has given above and beyond what we can ask and imagine. And I just want to exhort and encourage you all at Seaport. Please put God first. Yeah. Put God first, and he will provide all of your needs. It's so important to tithe. I can't tell you the tremendous blessings that the Lord has continued to provide for me. And I want to thank you, Pastor Brad, Pastor Debbie, and for your continual prayers and support. And for everyone at Seaport, you are like family to me. I love you all, and I thank Jesus for you. God bless you all.
Shiny, thank you. We look forward to seeing you in person.
I will see you soon.
Isn't that great? Yeah, it was kind of a spur of the moment thing we did. And I just thought you'd like seeing Shiny. She's watching right now too. But, you know, this week I was just, and if the board would join me, and Pastor Russ, if you'd join me right now, I was just asking this week, I said, Lord, I'd love to have a testimony about giving this Sunday. And, you know, I didn't ask anybody, but God just put that on Shiny's heart to share with. And Shiny is her God-given name, her parentally given name. Okay, that somebody says, is that her? Yes, that's her real name. And she lives it, doesn't she? She lives it. And so it's what a great thing to live up to your name, Shiny. And so I mean, this morning, you know, the board and I have been talking and praying about how could we challenge all of us to step forward in our faith and trust God with our finances. I've been praying for 15 months, the way the Lord told me, to pray for your financial prosperity. And I've been praying diligently that way for you. And so, you know, this, I just felt like the Lord wanted me to do this with you, and the board's in complete agreement, and the board and I are going to do this together. I'm going to call this God's Guarantee Plus. You've seen this brochure, God's Guarantee, all about tithing. Tithing, very simply, is committing the very first 10%. Tithe means 10% of our income to the Lord, first and foremost, as a way of saying thank you, as a way of saying, God, you're my provider, I trust you. So what I want to challenge you to do, some of you already tithe, so this is no challenge to you. You already do it. Good for you. Thank you. I want to challenge you just to renew that commitment or to step out and begin. And for some of us, that's a great stretch. Some of us, it's a great challenge, and I know that. But this is what we want to do. Next Sunday, nobody signed up for anything this week, but next week when you sign up to do this, the board and I are making a commitment, and along with Pastor Russ, we are going to pray and fast for you for 3 days by name. Everyone that signs up. And we're going to pray, and we're going to believe God that he's going to bless you, increase your finances, and just see you move ahead financially. That's how much we're in this. 3 days, praying, fasting for you by name. All of you who sign up to do this, that's what we're going to do. Many of the deacons will do this, but I make a commitment to you to pray for you every day for the remaining 87 days. Trusting God that he is going to bless you. I already do it, so it's not hard. So this is the guarantee. The guarantee very simply is this. On July 1, that's 3 months, okay, April, May, June. July 1, 3 months later, July 1, if you took this challenge and you've been faithfully giving 10%, but you find yourself in a financial crisis or bind, or you've not seen God do anything in your behalf financially, you come to me, and I will authorize our financial admin to refund all that you gave in those 3 months right away. This is on videotape. So that's how much I believe in it. You're not going to sign up for this today. You're going to sign up next week for this, and we're going to trust God together. I feel like I'm supposed to do this. I talked to the board. We are in agreement on this. And we're gonna go the distance and pray and fast for you for 3 days. April 1, 2, and 3. And it's not April Fool's joke. This is legit. Amen? So just before Chris comes and continues our series through the names of God, why don't you just stand with me one more time? You're going to be seated for a little while as he speaks. But why don't you stand with me and let's just pray that this, what will happen is this. You'll experience, I believe, financial advancement. It happens every time. You'll experience financial advancement. The church will be blessed and be able to take care of its needs. You know what? And the kingdom will go forward. Amen? Amen? This isn't just about the church wanting money. This is about you stretching and trusting God and doing what God wants you to do. And I can guarantee, it's right there. Put it right out there. That you'll experience financial blessing and to some degree. And if you don't, you see me. Amen? Amen? Father, thank you. This is a challenge that you put in my heart, and the board agrees for this church at this time. Lord, it's never about money. It's always about our heart. It's always about our faith. It's always about trusting you as our provider. It's always about that. But using your people to meet the needs of this work. So we thank you, Lord. We commit this to you. Lord, we don't want this to be, God, anything other than just a genuine step of faith. And Lord, I believe we're going to see great things, individually and corporately. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, friends? Do you believe it? I know it works. I've tithed since I was 16, and that's a long time ago now. God bless you guys. Go ahead and be seated. We'll do this next week. Thank you, board. Amen. Pastor Chris is coming. We've been in a series where we've been looking at the Old Testament names primarily right now of God. God doesn't share a name with us unless he intends for us to know something about him. And so Chris is going to continue. Chris, on this series today. Chris, and love his shoes, don't you?
Not really. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. What in the world is Pastor Chris wearing? I'll admit, this is not my normal look. However, during baseball season, you may see me sporting a Red Sox shirt. Whoa, whoa. That's right. But I went all in, you see, because I needed to secure my votes, and I thought, mistakenly, that for every item that I was mismatched, to include my socks, that I would get a vote so that I could get Pastor Russ to the finish line. But they told me that I only got one vote today. But that's okay, because the loud shirt, the mismatched blazer, it's fun. It gets our attention. But it also speaks to something so much deeper. Because spiritually, a lot of us are walking around looking like this. Sure, on the outside, we might appear that everything's put together. But on the inside, we're often wearing mismatched labels that God never gave us. We're wearing these misplaced identities, these competing loyalties, and we're sending out all these conflicting messages about who we are, about whose we are, and about what we stand for. In fact, it's like we're flying a different flag every day of the week based upon, I don't know, the pressures that we're under, based upon the people that we're trying to please, based on the day of the week. And so that brings me to the premise of what the sermon today asks us. And I want you to ask yourself, what flag do you fly? You know, as we've been walking through this series, the names of God in this He Calls Himself series, today we're going to look at the name Jehovah Nissi, or some of your Bibles may say Yahweh Nissi, which means the Lord is my banner. The Lord is my banner. It's the name that declares God's covering over us, declares our identity and His victory in every single battle that we face. So if you want to grab out your preferred biblical viewing platform, whether that's a paper Bible or that handy-dandy distraction that you probably have in your pocket, today we're going to find ourselves in Exodus 17 as we talk about Jehovah Nissi. But before we get there, let's set the stage a little bit for those that don't know, right? To understand Exodus 17, you need to know that the Israelites, they had just been set free from 400 years of slavery in Egypt. God had delivered them with mighty signs and wonders, parting the Red Sea, defeating Pharaoh's army, and leading them through the wilderness with pillars of a cloud by day and fire by night. They were a newly freed people. They were learning how to trust God and walk in all of His promises. But just as they were beginning to move forward, a new threat appeared. This time, not from Egypt, but from a nomadic tribe called the Amalekites. And before they could catch their breath, the battle came to them. It had only been a couple of months since they had walked out of Egypt. And now Israel faces their first real fight. The Amalekites attack them unexpectedly. But the Israelites, they're not trained soldiers. They were just former slaves. And they were still just trying to figure out who they were as a freed people. But I need you to remember that freedom doesn't mean that the fight is finished. You see, in Exodus 17:8, then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. No buildup, no warning. Just an attack. The Amalek, they came out of nowhere. They came out of nowhere. And isn't that just exactly how life seems to work? Everything is going great. We got smooth sailing on the horizon. Then suddenly, the bills pile up. The anxiety creeps in when you least expect it. That argument at home flares up after you just had an awesome outing. That spiritual pressure intensifies right after we experience breakthrough oftentimes. And it seems that's how the enemy often operates. He doesn't fight fair. He doesn't want to wait until you're ready. He doesn't want you to have the whole armor of God on. He wants to strike at every opportunity that he can. I mean, if we look further into Deuteronomy 25, 17, and 18, it tells us that the Amalek attacked from the rear, where the people were weak, where they were wary, where they were unprotected. Now, if that's not a spiritual battle, then I don't know what is. He often looks for weaknesses. He's been doing this a long time. He knows exactly where we're weak. He attacks us when we're tired. He waits patiently until you have your guard down. And it's often not just a physical attack. It's a spiritual attack. So we'll see. That's why Moses, he didn't grab a weapon. He grabs his staff. And in Exodus 17:9 says, "So Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with a staff of God in my hand.'" Now this staff, it wasn't just a walking stick. It was a symbol of God's authority, of God's presence, and it had been stretched over the Nile. It had been parting this Red Sea. It had made dry ground at Horeb have water. So what does Moses do now? He does the only thing that he knows to do. He takes that staff. He takes God's banner. And he lifts it up on high while Joshua and the people fight. And so as long as Moses has his hands raised, the Israelites, they prevailed. They prevailed. But when Zoms got tired and he dropped them down, the enemy began to take ground. So Aaron and Hur, they noticed this and they ran up beside him, one on each side, and they held his arms up high. Why? Because the power wasn't in the arms. The power wasn't in the strategy. The power was in the banner of God. The victory came with God's authority when it was lifted on high. But can I say this, though? Can I say to some of you, can I say to us that often we're exhausted? We're exhausted because we keep trying to win all of these battles with our own strength. If you didn't know, we are a praying church. Prayer happens in this place all the time. Just before service, everyone was in the generator room. They were praying for the service. Because the battle doesn't belong to us alone. It is not ours alone. There is a war that's raging out there. And we're out here swinging our sword around, fighting for our marriages, fighting for our kids, fighting for our peace, fighting for our identity. But when you're swinging that heavy sword all the time, your arms get tired. Now listen, I'm not telling you to stop fighting for those things. So don't hear what I'm not saying. I am telling you that there is good news. That you don't win this fight by swinging harder. You win this fight by standing taller and lifting higher. You see, in 1 Samuel 17:47, the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hand. You see, on the battlefield, there's this job that often gets overlooked. It often doesn't get a lot of attention, but it is a vital piece of the fight. It's the radio operator. Now that person, he may not be leading the charge, he may not be firing every bullet, but his job is to maintain connection with that higher command. They often are the ones that call in the reinforcements. They often are the ones that call in the close air support. They're the ones that receive the intel to tell us where to go. They ensure what's happening on the ground is well aligned with what's happening above. But what happens when that radio goes silent? What happens if that signal gets lost? Then the team becomes vulnerable. We become part of that weak, vulnerable side. I mean, how do you think it is when we disconnect ourselves from God? When we intentionally pull ourselves away? That's what happens when we stop lifting the banner of God up high in our lives. When we drop our hands in prayer. When we lose touch with the Word of God. When we let the fear or the fatigue lower our gaze. You see, we lose that signal. We lose that communication. We lose that power that comes from having that direct connection with the Lord our God, with the Alpha Omega, with Jesus. And every time we do that, we give the enemy opportunity. We give him opportunity to gain ground. We know that prayer is amazing. We know that the connection with our Father is awesome. We know that it is Him who gets us through things, but yet we seem to get distracted. We seem to get pulled in every other direction except for being connected to the One on High. But when we lift that banner again, when we declare Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner, He brings order to that chaos. He gives us the strength that we need in our weakness. And He brings us the victory in those fights. Listen, friends, if you haven't figured it out yet, there is a battle that is raging around you, and it is real. The enemy is relentless. But no, you're not fighting it alone. I mean, just let that settle for a moment before we move on. You're not alone, and the battle is real. But what happens next? We're going to talk about what happens when we finally know who we are. And when we know whose we are. Like I said in 1 Samuel 17:47, it said, "The battle is the Lord's." And that truth hasn't changed. Most of us are going through some kind of battle right now. Some kind of struggle right now. And like Moses, your victory, it won't come by swinging your sword harder or faster. It's only going to come if you have the right banner raised above you higher and higher and higher. The only question that I have is, how hard are you fighting? And whose authority, whose banner are you fighting under? You see, the Israelites, they didn't win because they had better swords. They didn't win because they had a great commander in Joshua. They won because they had the banner of God and His authority lifted high. Because let me tell you, your victory, it doesn't come from your own strength. It doesn't come from your own strength. It comes from your surrender. It comes from lifting Jesus higher. So there we had Moses. He stood on that hill, his arms raised high, the banner lifted in full surrender. The people of God prevailed, not because they were stronger, but because they were covered by God's presence and by God's authority. But here's the thing. The banner it didn't just signal victory. It reminded the Israelites of something deeper. And it should remind us today of something deeper. It reminded them not only who they were, but whose they were. I mean, I can't stress that enough. If I was, you know, teaching a class, I'd be like, this is super important. It reminds them of whose they are. Because if you don't know who you are, there's a great chance that you're going to wear all the wrong labels. You might wear a Yankees jersey. You might fly the wrong flags. And if you don't know whose you are, you could forget whose name is written upon your life. You'll fight the wrong battles. You'll come to it with the wrong mindset. And that's just as dangerous. So important to know who you are and whose you are. And so let's go back to this mismatched outfit for a moment. I mean, it's fun. It's playful. Ironically, it makes for a great spiritual illustration for today also. But how often is this a representation of the mismatched identities that we take on? It's an illustration of how many of us walk through life wearing identities that don't match the name of God spoken over us. Because often, if we're honest with ourselves, we wear the shirt of insecurity. We wear the jacket of fear. We put on those shoes of comparison. And somewhere under all of that, the banner of Christ becomes buried. You know, we live in a world where people wear all kinds of self-identified labels, labels that are given to us by other people, driven by culture, driven by comparison, lost in confusion. And then what happens? When we start to hear those things over and over and over again, we start to believe these worldly labels that are given to us, such as, I'm broken, I'm ugly, I'm too far gone, I'm not enough, that's too much. But I'm here to tell you, you're not your job. You're not your trauma. You're not your past failures. You say, we see and we say that we are children of God, but then we carry this banner of fear. We say we're free in Christ, but then we fly a flag of shame, of approval seeking. We say that the Lord is our guide, yet we live carrying the heavy weight of not being good enough. Often we get spiritually out of alignment because we've forgotten who we are. We've forgotten whose we are. But friends, God has not called us to live this mismatched kind of life. He's called us to walk in alignment with His Spirit, to walk in alignment with His heart, to walk in alignment with His truth. And we have to remember that God says, "You are mine." He says, "You are mine," and His love and acceptance is high above anything that the world can say. Because you are a child of God. You are a child of the Most High. You are a son or a daughter of the Most High King. Amen. And this isn't just a theological truth. It's a spiritual position. It's the Holy Spirit within us that makes this real. I mean, Paul says in Romans, the Spirit bears witness. In other words, the Holy Spirit confirms who we are and is constantly reminding us of whose we are. You see, the enemy, he may say, he may call you unworthy. But the Spirit of God says, you are mine. When shame whispers your past failures in your ear, the Spirit of the God says, you are chosen. When shame whispers your failures, the Spirit shouts, you are forgiven. Amen. You see, in 1 Peter 2:9, he says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. You see, God's people are meant to live marked by their identity in Him. Set apart from the labels, we are Spirit-filled and unmistakably His. His banner is not condemnation. His banner is not perfectionism. His banner is not a hustle culture. His banner over you is love. In the Song of Songs 2:4, it says, He brought me to the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. So the real question becomes, whose banner do you fly? Are you wearing what God gave you to wear, or are you wearing what the world has handed you? Are you flying that banner of Christ up high, or are you still wearing mismatched labels that fit, that don't fit with your identity in Christ? You see, this is why Jehovah Nissi matters. Because when his name is lifted on high, when his name is lifted up over your life, everything else will fall into place. I'm not saying that you won't have difficulties. I'm not saying that you won't have struggles. What I am saying is God's presence and authority is there, and he will take you to the end, always. You see, because when you know who you are, and when you know whose you are, your identity, it's secure. There is no question. You stop trying to prove to yourself, you stop trying to prove to other people, and you start walking with purpose. Because his banner over your life is love. And if that's not clear enough, let me give you a little illustration. You know, when I joined the military, they gave me my first military ID card. Looks a bit different today than it did then, but it came with some weight. It didn't just give me access to bases or buildings or benefits. It declared who I was. It said, this person has authority because he carries this label. It didn't matter if I felt like I belonged. It didn't matter if I was in the military for 1 minute, for 1 month, or 26 years. The ID said I belonged. I carried the seal of the nation, and it identified me as something bigger than myself. But I want you to imagine for a moment, what if I forgot who I was? What if I forgot I had that ID in my pocket, and then I went up to the gate guard on base, and I was like trying to prove to them, no, it's okay, see, I have the right uniform on. No, it's okay, I've been in the Navy for X amount of years. There's nothing I could do to get on that base. It was my ID card that gave me access. And that's what it's like when we forget our identity in Christ. We start trying to earn God's approval. We start walking in fear and insecurity. We start to live under a banner of incapability instead of under the Lord's banner that says, you are chosen, you are strengthened, you are redeemed, you are restored. But when you know who you are, when you remember whose name lives in your heart, when you remember that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, when you remember that your name is upon the palm of his hand, you walk with a confidence that cannot be taken. You walk with a confidence that there is no confusion. And it leads us to the next truth. Because even when you know who you are, even when you know what flag that you fly, there's still the matter of what flag does the world see that you're flying? So if God has the banner over you that is love, if you are his, if you are chosen, if you are seen, if you are secure, then the next question becomes simple but powerful. What does the world see when they look at you? Because identity always shows itself in its allegiance. You know, when I'm not here and I'm going to a Red Sox game, it's pretty obvious that I'm a Red Sox fan. I got my Red Sox hat on, I got my Red Sox jersey on, and I'm going to the Red Sox game. And they're beating the Yankees. We can all say that we belong to Jesus, but what banner are you outwardly lifting in your life? Because let's be honest, folks. There are times that we all fly something privately and something different publicly. But today God is calling us to fly the only banner that leads to victory in all facets of our life, and that is the banner of Jesus Christ. And let's bring it even closer to home. If God's banner over you is love, if he calls you his child, if we're adopted into his family, and if you know that this truth is in your heart, then shouldn't it reflect that identity? But the truth is, what we know is our spirit isn't always what we project in our lives. So let me ask this again. Let me ask it not as a pastor. Let me ask it not as a preacher who's up here on the pulpit, but as a fellow traveler in faith. What flag of identity are you flying right now when you're not inside this building? You know, your flag might not be made of fabric, but it's real. It's what people see when they look at your life. It's what your kids see when they look at you. It's what your coworker feels when they're around you. It's what those that are around you sense without you even having to say a word. Because we're always flying something, even if we're not saying anything. For you, it could be that you're flying fear, that you're flying pride, that you're flying political rage, that you're flying performance, that you're flying people-pleasing or anxiety. Or maybe you're not flying any of those things. Maybe the thing that you're actually flying is just yourself. Maybe it's your own image that you're flying. Maybe it's your own name that you're flying. Maybe it's your own version of success that you're flying. But let me ask you, because Jesus says this in John 12:32, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw people all to myself." I will draw people to myself. Let's unpack that for a minute. In the immediate context, Jesus is speaking just days before the crucifixion. He knows that the cross is coming. He says this to explain the kind of death he would die. He will be lifted up. And it refers directly to the crucifixion. But there's also a layered spiritual truth there. You see, in John's gospel, to be lifted up doesn't just mean elevation on a cross. It means that he will be exalted, that he will be in glory, that there will be public revelation. And the very fact and the very act of being lifted up to die, Jesus is being lifted up as our Savior and our King. And what happens when he is lifted up? What happens when the name of the Lord is lifted up? What happens when Jesus is lifted up? He draws people to himself. You know, we always wonder, oh, I'm afraid to share my faith. I don't know what to say. I don't know if I have the boldness to do this. But really, it is the name of the Lord. It is Jesus himself who brings people to himself. So here's what it means for us today, folks. When Jesus is exalted, when his name is the one that's raised high in our lives, he draws the hearts. He transforms the homes. He anchors the identities. He heals the sick. But when we raise our own banners, the banners of culture, of self, of fear, of bitterness, what do we do for people? We draw people into confusion. We draw people into destruction. Instead of in a life that's full of love and a life that's full of the acceptance in Christ. You see, if you haven't figured this out yet, you're either drawing people to you or distracting people from Jesus and drawing them to Jesus. You know, as I was preparing the sermon, it really reminded me of a while back I had preached a sermon on the ripple effect that we have, and I gave everyone a little stone, if you remember. And so I ask you, what ripple effect are you causing around you right now? And I'm not saying this as a guilt trip. I'm not meaning this in some way to convict you. What I'm asking you, and I'm giving you an invitation to realign your life under the flag that matters, under Jesus, under the banner of Christ, under Jehovah Nissi. And so let's give some practical examples of what that might look like when we're not inside this building. What happens when we choose forgiveness instead of holding a grudge against somebody? That's lifting up the name of the Lord. That's flying the Jesus flag. What happens when you prioritize integrity at work when no one's looking? That's flying the Jesus flag. What happens when your kids see you worshiping and praying, even in the darkest of times? That's lifting up the name of the Lord. What happens when you choose purity over the culture that mocks it? That's standing tall for the one on high. You see, when you walk with grace and humility, not just out in public, but also from behind your keyboard, that's flying the Jesus flag. And let's just say this plainly. The world doesn't need more Christians who just blend in, flying their flag so low that no one even notices it. We need believers who will boldly fly the Jesus banner high above everything else for all to see. Now listen, don't hear what I'm not saying. This isn't about being loud and aggressive and going out onto the street corner and just with a megaphone and winning arguments online. That's not what I'm saying. This is about a visible allegiance. Those that are around you should know where you stand without you even having to say anything. It's about that consistent living, the way it makes people ask, what flag is that guy flying? Who does that guy stand for? What is different about him than's different about everybody else? And it should ultimately cause them to be curious. If they're not leaving curious, then you're not flying the right flag. They should be curious and they should wonder, what is the difference with this person? Because when you lift him up, when you cause others to wonder, it is he that is doing the drawing. Because we are putting him on high. It is him. It is he. It is Jesus who softens hearts. It is Jesus who brings the conviction. It is Jesus who heals the broken. So yes, there is a battle that wages around us all the time. Yes, you need to know who you are, and you need to know whose you are. But once you do, you've got to live like it. Not because you're seeking for God's approval, but because you want to show the love of Christ to everyone that's around you. You want them to know what that purpose is, what that love is, what that comfort is. And you've got to raise that flag up high for them all to see. Let me paint just another picture for you before we get ready to close. In 1945, the Battle of Iwo Jima, and the chaos of war, 5 Marines, and of course, 1 Navy corpsman, fought their way up Mount Suribachi. It's a brutal, exhausting, relentless battle, but when they get to the top, they plant the U.S. flag. I'm sure that you've all seen this picture before. It is probably the most iconic photo in American military history. But did you know when that flag was planted, the war was not over? The island wasn't even fully secure. But that flag raised high declared something. It declared that this ground belongs to us now. It was a symbol of hope, a rallying point, a line in the sand that said, we're not giving up. We know who we are. We know whose we are. We know what we're fighting for. And that's what the banner of Jesus does in your life. Because I'll tell you, no matter where you are on your walk, the battle rages around you. You could still be in that struggle right now. But when you raise his name, when you raise Jehovah Nissi, you're declaring, this heart belongs to Jesus now. This home belongs to Jesus now. This marriage, this mind, this ground is claimed on behalf of Jesus. Your life becomes a hilltop, and his name becomes the flag. And so that brings us all the way back to that question that we've been asking all morning. What flag do you fly? You see, after the battle, that's when Moses built an altar. That's when Moses gave the altar the name Jehovah Nissi, not to celebrate the Israelites' strength, but to honor God's faithfulness. He called it Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. The battle may have ended, but the real declaration had just begun. It was just the beginning. Why? Because Moses knew the victory didn't come from their strength. It came from God's presence. It came from God's authority. It came from God's covering. That raised staff, it wasn't just a good idea. It was a spiritual symbol. It told everyone watching, we're not here because of our might. We're here because of our God. The banner is signified of identity. It's signified in their unity. And it signifies their divine intervention. You know, in Isaiah 59:19, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against them. He will lift up a standard. You know, if I've learned anything since I started going to seminary, it's that words matter. And it's very easy to just blow right past the word standard. But the standard here means a raised signal. It means a banner. It means something visible that people can rally to. You see, God is still today the same as he was at that very moment when Moses sat upon that hill with Aaron and Hur having his arms raised up high. He is the same God then that he is today. So when that flood of anxiety hits your mind, when that flood of conflict hits your home, when that flood of darkness surrounds your calling, it is Jehovah Nissi that still raises a standard. That's truth is the truth. But it's not just about our personal victory, friends. It's easy for us to look into these stories and see just ourselves. But it's even bigger than that. It's about the mission, God's mission to renew, to redeem, and to restore all of creation. It's about that mission to reach all of the lost. And this is why, this is why we're mismatched today, right? The mission for BGMC, the mission for Speed the Light. It's not just a fun way to raise money for such an amazing thing, right? It's a declaration to the nation. It's a declaration that says, there is a God who loves you. There is a God who calls you. There is a God who covers you. There is a name that is higher than fear. There is a name that is higher than poverty. There is a name that is higher than despair. And his name is Jesus. It's all part of the same message. We're all intertwined. We're all the body of Christ here to lift one another's arms up. When we fly the flag of Jesus, not just here, but everywhere. See, in ancient warfare, every army had a standard bearer, had a flag bearer. In fact, we still do it today. Someone whose job, like Moses on the top of the mountain, was to carry and lift the banner high above the battlefield. But the standard didn't win the war, but it showed the people where they belonged, where to rally, where their identity was. And when that battle got chaotic, because battles get chaotic. When all the soldiers were scattered and confused, when all of us are out there marching around the world and we are in confusion, we can look up at that banner. The flag anchored their identity and it reminds them of the mission. So I have to ask you, church, are you flying the banner for Christ when you're not here? So when others are down and stuck in the chaos, they can see the banner of the Lord and know where to go. Because when that banner falls, morale starts to collapse. The troops, they start to lose direction. The enemy starts to advance. And some of you today, if we're honest, are fighting hard. But if we're really honest, that banner is low. The name of Jesus isn't the most visible flag that's in your life lately. But I got to tell you that the Lord is not asking you to swing harder. He's not asking you to try harder. He's calling you to lift higher. to lift his name higher, to lift your eyes higher, to lift your identity back under the one who created it all. Because when Jesus is lifted high, what did we say? When Jesus is lifted high, he draws everyone to himself. He draws all the people to himself. We are not the ones doing the drawing. It is the Lord who does the drawing. And under his banner, you don't just survive. You stand with confidence and faith, and you remember who you are, and you remember whose you are. So let's get personal for a moment. Here's where the rubber meets the road. Here's where it gets real. This is the moment where we get to decide which banner we're flying. You know, this mismatched outfit, it's just cloth. As soon as I leave, I'm going to change after I go embarrass my son somewhere. But for some of us, there's a real mismatch in our spirit right now. Some of us are living under these false identities. Some of us are carrying the names and labels that God never gave us. And it's time to lay down those things. It's time to raise the name of Jesus on high. So I'm going to ask you, as we get ready to close, for you to stand with me right now. Because we've talked about the battle. We've talked about your identity. We've talked about his banner. But now it's time for that decision. Some of you have been flying flags that don't belong to you. And I learned something in the last couple of months about putting things down. And so right now I want you to do that. It's really simple. Every time I go to pray now, the first thing I do is I lift my hands out. And I keep my palms down. And I empty out everything that's not of the Lord that's in my life at that moment. It doesn't matter what it is. My kids are going through something weird. My wife is having health problems. I put it all down and I let it all go and I give it to the Lord. Some of you are flying those things. I urge you right now to lift your hands out, to turn your palms down, and to empty out whatever those things are that are in your life right now. Whether it's the flag of fear, the flag of shame, the flag of control or self-reliance. It's that moment that we put that down. And today's the day that we raise a new flag, that Jehovah Nissi, that the Lord is your banner. This is the moment that we realign our lives under the banner of Christ. It's where our allegiance becomes visible. So when we leave this place, there's no question everyone around you sees it. Where your heart rallies back to the only name that brings power, that brings presence, that brings purpose. Question that's on the table is, whose flag do you fly? So let our response be the worship. Let our surrender right now rise like incense. Let your voices rise like Moses' staff. Let the name of Jesus be lifted up over any fear that we have. Over our families, over our failures, over our finances, over our futures, over the generations. So right now I'm going to call the altar team up. But I'm not just calling up the altar team. They're coming forward and they're going to stand with you. They're going to stand beside you. They're going to lift your arms up. They're going to pray for whatever it is that you need prayer for. But I want you right now to look deep inside your heart. Look deep inside your heart right now. Be honest with yourself. And if the Holy Spirit is stirring you, I want you to come. I want you to come and lay down those old flags. You can stand anywhere across the front. Lay down those old flags. Come and lift up the name of Jesus. Raise his flag high in your personal life and in your public life. And do it right now. It's the time for us to stand with our arms lifted high. with the banner of the Lord lifted high, with Jehovah Nissi lifted high. As we move into worship, I don't want you to just sing. I want you to speak the name of Jesus. I want you to speak the name of Jesus over your mind. Say it, Jesus over my mind. I want you to speak the name of Jesus over your body. Lord, it's the name of Jesus over our bodies. Speak the name of Jesus over your family. Speak the name of Jesus over your finances. Speak the name of Jesus over this church. Lord, I just pray right now that we are able to lay down everything, to get it all out, Lord, and to praise your holy name, Lord, that you are the name above all names, and it is you that brings victory, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's worship.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Because I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Jesus, over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How about you just lift up the name of Jesus? Say, Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, if you've never given your life to Christ, if you've never spoken the name of Jesus, now's your chance. It's so simple. The Lord wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to be in relationship with you. Know that God loves you deeply. But it's our sin. It's those things that we do against God that keep us away from Him. Understand that it is those things that keep you away from Him. All you need to do is repent, which just means turn back to God. Turn away from those things of the world. Turn back to God. Repent of your sin. And say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want the peace and the presence and the power that only comes from you, Lord. I want to lift your name on high. I want Jehovah Nissi. I want your banner to be my banner, Lord. If you've done that now for the first time, I ask you, come up and speak with one of our ministry team leaders. They are trained to know how to pray with you, and they can tell you and help you on your next steps. The Lord lifts us up high. He wants us to be within His house. He wants us to be adopted into His family. All it takes is for you to turn back to Him. It's that easy. Today is your day. So if you've never taken the Lord into your life, I'm asking you to do that right now. What's stopping you? And if you have, what if you haven't gotten baptized yet? What if you haven't risen that flag up high and gotten baptized yet? Sign up. We're doing a baptism in a couple of weeks. It's a public declaration of that private decision that you'd be making right now. What's stopping you? If you've truly taken the name of Jesus, if you've truly been saved, then why wouldn't you want everyone around you to know and for you to share in that love with them? Declare that by getting baptized. Hallelujah. Ministry team will continue to pray for you up here. Wednesdays, we're going to continue going through the book of Ephesians. It's an amazing Bible study. Please join us on Wednesdays. Lord, right now I dismiss us in your great grace. Lord, we ask right now that when we walk out of this place, that your banner is flying high, Lord, and that everyone that surrounds us knows who we are, whose we are, and that we are walking with you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Have a wonderful week.